Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider are all the lessons effectively, but from Luke chapter 4. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. And then from Matthew 11, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So when was the last time you thought about Christmas? I bet you just maybe a minute ago. Do you have any favorite hymns? How about Joy to the World? It's a lovely hymn in which the church sings about what Jesus has come to do as far as the curse is found. Jesus was born, says the hymn, to overcome the curse as far as it is found. And yet 30 years later, when John the Baptist was in prison, when many were still suffering, dying, blind, leprous, lame, among other things, where was Jesus? He came according to Isaiah 35. He came with healings in his wings, according to Malachi 4. He came and seems to have reached out to and healed, raised many who were suffering and even dead. John tells us in John 21 that this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. But here we are, sheltering in place, with the numbers rising. They just went up again, over 400,000 people infected, and a lot of people have died, maybe 600 in the United States. People struggling in a host of different ways, and so where is God? Did you ever wonder why Jesus didn't just heal all those who were suffering from disease? I'm sure both of you have. Why didn't John write the books that the world can't contain? Wouldn't that help us? It seems to be the case, doesn't it? Even and especially for John, who would be beheaded, that perhaps he needed to hear more. In fact, he did, and that's exactly what Jesus gave him. And yet Jesus told John that he was the Messiah, and all the signs of the Messiah were being done by him. And so today, in the midst of this trouble we are facing, the question we have is like the one which human beings have asked in times of trouble, where is God? And of course, the texts of Scripture make it clear to us. We, like John, wonder when things aren't going well, when we are overwhelmed with anxiety, where is God? Like the psalmist in Psalm 42, when other people even might say to us, where is your God? It seems easier to understand when there is someone standing there healing and raising the dead. The crowds were overwhelmed when Jesus did these signs. They began to gather, even the sick, possessed, and lame. Even Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. And I'm sure there are a lot of people with fevers who today would like Jesus to stand by their bed and rebuke their fever. And the word about him went forth, except for the witness of the demons, which he refused to allow. When John was in prison, seemingly stuck with a bad end around the corner, the struggle becomes real. When we're sick, when we're overwhelmed by some disease, the question of where God is real. And when we feel alone, the question of our enemies comes. Where is your God? That's what the devil will ring in our ears over and over again when things don't get better, when there seems to be no end to the trial, to the trouble, to the disease. But there is an end. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, my tears are my daily food. While they say, where is your God? My soul thirsts for God, he starts out the psalm, pants for God. He wants to know where God is. This is what John confesses. Are you the one? The doubts when troubles come are clearly spoken in that psalm. Why have you forgotten? But Jesus had not forgotten John. And simply, with a simple word, just like he spoke to the devil when he was being tempted and tried by him, Jesus points John to the word and sends the devil who rings in our ears those words, where is your God? He points him to the work that Jesus is doing. Like any of us and all of us who are truly faced with difficult times, with difficult decisions, financial troubles, sickness, we are anxious and troubled and afraid and wondering, where is God when we need him? We are tempted to question, are you the one, or shall we look for another? But in the text, we find that healing and resurrection in this cursed world are only temporary. Even if Jesus could have released John from prison, which he could have, he still would have died. He still would have had to face that day. Whether it was Lazarus, the little girls, the lepers, or Peter's mother-in-law, they all died, some of them more than once. They succumbed to death, but not to eternal death, as we shall hear and see. For in the midst of Jesus' works and through his word and spirit, faith is created in the midst of those people who are living in the midst of suffering and death. As Franzman says, Jesus came to breathe our poisoned air. He came to bear our sins. But he also came to conquer them. And so he would say to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? These works done by Jesus make clear that there is one who knows how to heal and overcome the curse. That is what we see. He's fulfilling the promises that the blind, the lame, the leprous, and even the dead would be raised as far as the curse is found. As far as it is found. This one is the only one who can truly heal and overcome the troubles that afflict us. This one knows what it will cost. For you see, we worry about it. We're talking about spending trillions of dollars to try to serve this country and the people in this country to take care of their medical costs. But the costs of this curse, well, there's not one person in this world, from this world, from the image, the ones who bear the image of Adam, who can overcome and rescue us from that curse. This world must, Jesus tells us, pass, as well as the flesh we bear. For it lives under a curse of which it must all pass away. And so no matter how many times we would be healed, no matter how many times we would get up from our bed and walk, we would still be plagued, even as our culture is plagued with dystopian stories, tales of zombies and viruses and so on and so forth. And even the romantic notions that this world will be at peace when man is gone. But rather, it took a real man, it took God, to come into this world to rescue us, even while he assures us that this world, with all that it suffers from the curse, will pass away. And so we do not, as Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, especially chapter 6, we do not set our hearts and minds on these things. And in Colossians 3, we don't set our hearts and our minds on things below. We don't look for those ultimate solutions. Jesus comes to bear the curse and overcome it in his life, his death, and his resurrection. This is what he came to do. He preaches this and proclaims it even to his own disciples, who had walked with him for 3 years. I must go to Jerusalem. I must be betrayed. I must be whipped, crucified, spit upon, and rise again after 3 days. Now, the disciples did not want to hear that. They were still holding on to some earthly kingdom, even as they were at Pentecost, or at least after the resurrection. When will he restore the kingdom to Israel? And then he tells us, reminds us today, that he goes to prepare a place for us, a new heaven and a new earth. This is what he turns our eyes towards. Not to this earth, not to its troubles. They are there and will always be there, but so will he. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We aren't to set our hearts and our minds on things below, but on things above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. And the right hand of God is going to be right here at this altar. The right hand of God will be feeding and assuring you that your sins are forgiven and strengthening you for the trials that are still yet to come. He is where he promises to be, healing us, putting to death the old Adam and giving strength and life to the new man. Whoever believes in me has eternal life, he says. We have what God promised, and it will not be taken away. He died and rose again to give it to us, to rescue us from sin and from every evil. We shall never die. Do you believe this? His word is certain and true, and it will come to pass that you will experience it. You will see it with your eyes, but not yet. Now we live by faith. We listen to his word. Jesus tells his disciples right after the gospel lesson, right after he rebukes the demons, he says that he must go and preach, for that is why he came. That's why I think the reformers said that there really aren't any services that don't have preaching involved. They couldn't conceive of that very well, and they came from a church in which preaching had become very, very weak. He is present in the preaching which he accomplishes. He sends the preachers. He works through them. That is why he came, so that the word might establish you, strengthen you in the midst of these difficult times. And it's the word that makes the gifts, if you will. St. Augustine says the supper is a visible word. Baptism is a visible word. And he is present in baptism and the supper. He comes to daily feed and care for us, to daily forgive and renew us, to strengthen us for life. Yes, even here, sheltering in place. And in all this, he is overcoming sin, death, and the devil. That is where he works today, and it will not fail. For he has come into this world to plunder the kingdom of the devil, to establish his church, and to keep her safe until life everlasting. And this, even at a time like this, brings us joy. Joy beyond all telling. Joy that is deeply rooted in the heart of every believer. For in that heart we come to ponder and reflect on those words that he has sunk deeply into the old Adam, into the Adam, the soil, if you will, and from the new comes forth joy and hope and love and kindness and gentleness. We come to ponder and reflect on the height, the depth, the breadth of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And we take comfort today that no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from his love. Amen.